Let us pray. Holy God, your word is strong and leads our feet to your holy dwelling place. Strengthen and guide us with your word through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews 12, 1-3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You know, 2 weeks ago, the first weekend in September, marked the Charleston Distance Run here in our community. My son Andrew and my daughter-in-law Janet came from Athens, where Andrew is on the staff of Concord University, and they came to spend the weekend because Andrew was participating in the race for his first time ever. The Charleston Distance Run has just completed its 50th year. It's 50th year anniversary, and it's unique in that it is a 15-mile run. This year, it began at the Capitol and went through the community and ended up at Laidley Field, as it has done traditionally. It's a hard race. It goes through downtown Charleston, up Porter G, and through the South Hills, and one of the hills is so challenging that it's called capital punishment. Andrew was part of a three-person relay in which each of the runners would run a third of the race and then hand off to another member of their little team. Andrew runs some for exercise, but he is not exactly what you would call a real serious runner. His dad, however, was. And Andrew decided that he would run the Charleston Distance Run this year in honor and in memory of his father, who ran the distance run for many years and now joyfully runs the streets of heaven. Andrew recruited a couple of his buddies who were actually more serious runners than he was. And, of course, Janet and I were there to see him off and to celebrate his finish, since he actually had the last leg of the relay. I could not help but think of the many, many times that I, and sometimes the children as well, would see their dad off to start a race and then would wait for him at the finish line. And so for this week and next week, I want to think with you about what the Bible says about running and about races and how I think that they form and inform the race that we are all involved in right now. Our scripture lesson this morning was from the letter to the Hebrews. And for a long time, it was believed that the author of that letter was the Apostle Paul. But more recent scholarly study confirms that the use of language and the style is different from the Apostle Paul. So we don't really know who wrote it. But what we do know is that it was written to Jewish Christians, to the Hebrews. The references in this letter would have been well known to Jewish people. In chapter 11, which precedes the passage that we just heard, it rehearses all the heroes of the Old Testament, people like Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and more. And the writer praises God's faithful people of the past and encourages those of us who follow Jesus to keep our eyes fixed on him as we run our race. In fact, the author says, the faith of those who came before us is not complete without ours. The word picture is a stadium where the spectators watch runners in a race. And those who are seated in the stadium are those who have already completed the race, and now they cheer for those who have not yet completed the course. The great cloud of witnesses who watch and cheer for those of us who continue encourage us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. He has authored and already finished the race, and he waits for us just over the finish line. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. Joy and Soldier, may his memory be a blessing, loved to run. Next to the Lord Jesus and his family, he loved running more than anything else in this world. And while he ran the Charleston distance run, he also ran other races. Some were long and some were shorter. When we lived in Wheeling, he wanted to run the Elby's Distance Race Classic. Now, I don't know that they have it anymore, or if they do, they have renamed it as something else. But it was a 12.4-mile course, very difficult, very hilly, and there are three major hills. The first is the 29th Street Hill, and it occurs about 3 miles into the course, and it's a long climb, but it's an even longer downhill trek. The second one is called Wheeling Hill, and by this time the runners are pretty tired, but the last one, nearest to the end of the race, is the most cruel of all. It's called Chicken Neck Hill. Does that tell you anything? And it's maybe the most cruel because it's near the end of the race, and this is a grueling race. And then the race returns to downtown Wheeling, where the starting line then becomes the finish line. One year, Julian and his good buddy and running partner named Harry decided that this was the year that they were going to run Elby's. They trained together for weeks, really for months, and it was they both felt like they were in pretty good shape, if not to place, certainly to finish the race in an honorable time. The day before the race, Julian Soldier woke up and was not feeling well. He was flushed with fever. He had a headache. He had digestive issues. Julian, I fussed at him, you cannot run the race while you are sick. Now call Harry and tell him that you're not coming. It's just pre-race jitters, Julian said. I'll be okay. They'll go away. But they did not. Nevertheless, he was determined to do this race with Harry as they had planned. Claire at this time was in high school, and Andrew was in junior high. We all drove their dad downtown to join Harry and to see them off as they began the race. I was worried. Julian obviously did not feel up to par, and this was a very hard race. Nevertheless, he was determined to soldier on. We found Harry and some other friends, and we chatted as we waited for the race to begin. I asked Harry to especially look out for Julian, since he really wasn't feeling very well. Finally, the starting gun announced the beginning of the race. Harry and Julian were in about the middle of the pack, and they soon disappeared in a crowd of other runners. The kids and I went to a nearby restaurant to have some breakfast while we waited. After what seemed a very long time, Harry came down the hill and crossed the finish line. We rushed over to ask about Julian, and Harry said, well, as they approached the first hill, Julian said he didn't think he could keep up with Harry, and he asked him to go on without him so that Harry could make the best time that he was able. And he said that was the last time that he saw anything of his running partner. So we continued to wait and to watch anxiously. A newly married couple who were in their running gear, but the groom had one of those neckties that has a little thing that you put around your neck. He was wearing a little necktie, and the bride had on a little tiny veil that was attached to a little headpiece, and they held hands and crossed the finish line together. Some time passed. Another runner who was in full Darth Vader costume cross the finish line. More time passed. An 8-year-old boy who had finished the race came across the finish line, but still no Julian. And then we heard the ominous sound of a siren in the background. I was just ready to go over to the officials' table to see if that ambulance contained anybody that I knew. And just then, the children began to shout and to point, and they said, "Look, look, there he is, here he comes." And coming down the hill, drenched in sweat and flushed and barely putting one foot in front of the other, was Julian. He checked in, he got a drink, he toweled off, he told us then what had happened. He said that he had kept up with Harry pretty well for the first 3 miles, but he really thought that Harry was holding back in order to accommodate Julian. So he said, "Harry, since I'm not up to par, you go on and do the best time that you're able." And so he did. And then Julian was faced with the first of those treacherous hills. Julian was a pastor of a church in Wheeling at that time. And at the foot of the first hill was a church member. This was a disabled young man. He was physically disabled. He was intellectually disabled. But he loved Julian. And he cheered and clapped, and Julian did feel somewhat energized by this young man's presence, since he knew that it had taken a lot of effort for him to come out to the race that day to cheer his beloved pastor on. And so he smiled and waved and began to trek up that hill. He made it to the top and began the descent slowly. But he felt okay until he then came to Wheeling Hill. He just didn't see how he was going to make it up that hill. This race wound through several residential neighborhoods. And there, about 20 yards or so into a residential neighborhood, sat an elderly couple who were also from Julian's congregation. And they lived in that neighborhood, and they'd brought chairs to sit on their lawn and watch for their pastor to pass by. And they even had a bottle of water for him. So he stopped briefly to take a drink and thank them and hand the bottle of water back. "Now go, Reverend Julian," they shouted. "Go, finish the race." And so he staggered up the hill, knowing that they were watching and cheering for him. Well, he was going very slowly by this time. By the time he came down the other side, really, he was walking more than running. And soon he was confronted by the infamous Chicken Neck Hill. And he thought to himself, "I just can't do this one. I'm going to have to drop out." But there at the foot of the hill was a young family with a couple of small children, and the kids were jumping up and down and clapping and screaming, "Go, Pastor Julian, go, go, go." Well, Julian thought to himself, "I really hate to disappoint those kids, so I'll try." And the little ones joined him, one on either side, and they ran just as fast as their little legs would carry them until their parents came to retrieve them. Slowly, slowly, painfully, he made it to the top and began the descent back down into downtown Wheeling. And there we were waiting for him. Later on, as he thought about and relived the race, he was clear about how he was able to finish in spite of all odds. He said it was the cheering and the encouragement of those along the way that gave me strength that I really didn't have. And it was the knowledge that I was being carried on to the finish by those who cared for me. Otherwise, I could never in a million years have crossed that finish line. Does it really matter if we cheer each other on? Is it really an important thing to do? The midweek classes are using a textbook which this last week contained a story about a fellow named Kevin Himes. Kevin Himes is one of the handful of people who have survived jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge. He was in great despair about his life, and he said, "I just feel so alone. I feel so desperate, and I am going to go to the bridge and jump over. But if one person sees me and looks at me or speaks to me, I will not jump." Nobody did. And so Kevin Himes jumped off the bridge, and he was one of the lucky ones because he survived. I also heard a story this past week, closer to home. There was a young woman in West Virginia who determined to end her life because she was so miserable and desperate and depressed. And she went to the New River Bridge. She was going to jump off that bridge to end her life. And she was just weeping profusely and trying to get courage enough to climb over the rail and to jump into the river. And a car that was passing, that was going across the bridge, saw her there, slowed down, rolled down the window, and said, "Don't jump. Don't jump. Don't jump." And so she didn't. And then sought help for her problems. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, let us be spendthrifts in our love and encouragement for each other. Let us be lavish in our cheering for one another, because you never know who it is that you are enabling to finish the race. Amen.